In a world where career advice often feels overwhelming and abstract, Adara Landry and Risa E. Lewis offer something refreshingly different. Their book, Microskills, has become a sensation among early career professionals seeking concrete, actionable guidance. What makes this book stand out in the crowded self-help landscape is its focus on breaking down workplace success into small, learnable components rather than vague platitudes. The book has garnered attention from influential business leaders like Adam Grant, who praised its practical approach, and has been featured in Fast Company's essential reading list for professionals navigating today's complex work environments. Unlike many career guides that assume privilege or existing networks, Landry and Lewis have created an inclusive roadmap that anyone can follow, regardless of background or industry. The authors' combined experience as award-winning physicians and educators brings a unique perspective to professional development, one that treats career growth as a skill to be practiced rather than a talent you either have or don't. The journey toward workplace excellence begins with a counterintuitive starting point: taking care of yourself. This isn't the superficial self-care of bubble baths and face masks, but the fundamental maintenance of your most valuable professional asset, you. Consider how we treat our devices. When your laptop battery runs low, you charge it without hesitation. Yet many professionals push themselves to exhaustion, wearing burnout like a badge of honor. As Landry and Lewis pointedly observe, you might love your job, but your job will not love you back. This stark reality check frames self-care not as indulgence, but as strategic necessity. Building your personal board of directors forms the cornerstone of sustainable professional life. These trusted individuals, your failure friends, mentors, and confidants, provide the support system necessary for navigating career challenges. When Adira administered the wrong medication dosage during a cardiac arrest, though the patient was already deceased, having someone to process this experience with proved invaluable. These connections aren't just emotionally supportive. Research from Blue Zones, where people live longest, shows that community relationships directly contribute to longevity and resilience. Gratitude practices transform from nice to have into professional necessities when you understand their neurological benefits. Expressing specific appreciation, like Risa's letter to the senior physician who taught her end-of-life discussion techniques, creates a virtuous cycle that strengthens professional relationships while improving your own well-being. The authors tackle sleep with refreshing directness. After years in emergency medicine, Risa discovered that sleep deprivation wasn't a sustainable career strategy, but a liability affecting judgment, mood, and cognitive function. The practical approach they offer, optimizing your environment, establishing consistent schedules, and recognizing sleep as non-negotiable, transforms this basic biological need into a professional advantage. Deliberate rest represents another counterintuitive professional strategy. This isn't scrolling social media or binge-watching shows, but intentional disengagement that allows your brain to process and rejuvenate. As Risa discovered, her productivity actually soared when she prioritized exercise, nature walks, and social connection. By protecting these periods without explanation or apology, you create the mental space necessary for sustained performance. Financial management might seem tangential to workplace success, but the authors connect these dots convincingly. Financial stress directly impacts work performance, while understanding benefits and retirement options prevents costly mistakes. The practical steps, from debt inventory to insurance coverage, provide a framework for financial stability that supports career growth. Personal hygiene impacts professional perception more than many realize. When Risa had to address a medical student's body odor issue, it highlighted how these seemingly private matters affect workplace dynamics. Research confirms this reality. 86% of employees and 80% of managers link appearance to promotion potential. Simple systems like preparing clothing in advance and establishing healthcare relationships before emergencies arise create the foundation for professional presence. Strategic offloading of draining tasks isn't laziness, but optimization. Adira's initial guilt about hiring a house cleaner transformed into recognition that this decision significantly reduced her stress levels. By identifying tasks that drain you without purpose and employing strategies to automate, delegate, outsource, or streamline them, you reclaim energy for meaningful work. Calendar management and meeting boundaries complete this self-care foundation. By consolidating calendars, protecting specific time blocks, and questioning meeting necessity, you create the structure necessary for sustainable performance. Adira's practice of blocking Friday afternoons for completing weekly tasks or resting exemplifies how boundaries support both productivity and well-being. Effective task management isn't about completing everything. It's about completing the right things in the right order. This requires understanding three key concepts: order of operations, economy of time, and return on investment. The first crucial step is learning what your supervisors actually value. Adira shares the illuminating story of two graduate students. One spent excessive time on stylish invitations and fancy food for workshops, while the other focused on research, lectures, and networking. The latter secured a faculty position because those activities aligned with their supervisor's priorities. This reality check requires reading your organization's mission statements, obtaining clear job descriptions, scheduling regular check-ins, and soliciting specific feedback rather than vague questions. Task prioritization becomes a life-saving skill in emergency medicine, as Risa illustrates with her story of identifying an abdominal aortic aneurysm via ultrasound and immediately rerouting a patient to surgery. In less dramatic workplace contexts, prioritization still requires considering supervisors' needs, deadlines, impact, and available time. The practical approach involves writing your task list, ordering items strategically, updating as circumstances change, and seeking guidance about priorities rather than vague questions. Resource assessment prevents project failure by identifying potential obstacles before they arise. This requires the humility to acknowledge limitations and the foresight to anticipate needs. The critical actions include adjusting project scale based on available resources, creating comprehensive needs lists, comparing needs to resources, and failing fast when projects aren't working, speaking with your team early when progress stalls rather than prolonging ineffective efforts. Timeline creation provides structure that keeps projects on track. Adira's successful national lecture preparation included clearly communicated steps with adequate time allocation. While timelines help everyone organize expectations, Parkinson's law, work expands to fill available time, requires conscious management through global due dates, task duration estimates, scheduled reminders, and regular check-ins focused on troubleshooting rather than embarrassment. Timeline adjustment requires honesty about feasibility. Risa shares how even job offer response deadlines can be negotiated. Studies show 76% of founders miss deadlines for product features, often because initial timelines weren't realistic. Managing this reality requires reflecting on your relationship with time, reviewing your calendar before confirming deadlines, communicating constraints upfront, protecting your health by avoiding excessive after-hours work, and delegating when necessary. Learning to quit projects represents perhaps the most counterintuitive task management skill. Quitting takes work off your plate while creating space for reflection, self-care, and new opportunities. This requires weighing risks and benefits objectively, consulting trusted advisors, recognizing when guilt keeps you in roles, reducing FOMO, fear of missing out, embracing JOMO, joy of missing out, and controlling the narrative when you exit to avoid burning bridges. Effective meeting design ensures gatherings have clear purpose and result in action items. Risa learned to recognize and opt out of unproductive meetings with her supervisor that lacked structure and devolved into gossip. Productive meetings require written agendas shared in advance, assigned note takers, avoiding gender bias in this task, reviewed next steps, scheduled follow-ups, and summary emails that keep everyone aligned. Polished communication delivers messages that allow audiences to extract critical information while building relationships. This requires intentionality about words, physical expression, timing, and cultural awareness. The authors emphasize that communication is predominantly nonverbal, up to 90%, highlighting the importance of body language and presentation. Body language awareness transforms interactions, Adara shares how simply sitting down, unfolding arms, and making eye contact diffused tense patient encounters in the emergency department. This skill requires attention to subtleties, cultural awareness, and self-monitoring through feedback and observation. Body language serves as a powerful communication tool that can resolve conflicts without saying a word. Recognizing communication barriers ensures everyone can participate effectively. Adara's story about using proper interpreters rather than relying on partial language skills led to correctly diagnosing a stroke patient. This approach requires patience, inclusivity, and resource awareness, avoiding assumptions about abilities, offering accommodations, practicing patience, and locating appropriate resources like interpretation services. Direct communication saves time and sometimes lives. Risa's clear statement, "I am worried the patient has ischemic bowel and needs to go to OR," exemplifies how clarity prevents confusion and builds trust. The skill requires knowing your audience, deciding your point before speaking, starting with the main message, and supporting assertions with evidence. While politeness remains important, clarity ensures effective communication. Strategic storytelling transforms abstract concepts into memorable messages. Risa found that incorporating patient stories from the emergency department made her previously bland presentations engaging and impactful. Stories emotionally connect with audiences and demonstrate concept applicability better than bullet points. The key actions include deciding when stories are appropriate, identifying clear focus points, keeping stories authentic, and giving proper credit. Radical listening creates space for others to contribute. Risa shares intervening when a supervisor repeatedly spoke over a junior colleague, highlighting how disrespectful communication disproportionately affects junior teammates, women, and people of color. Critical actions include getting comfortable with silence, waiting for others to speak first, using nonverbal cues to show engagement, and avoiding behaviors like mansplaining and interrupting. Asynchronous messaging mastery allows thoughtful communication when immediate response isn't necessary. Different situations require different tools, from emails for routine updates to direct phone calls for urgent matters. The key is matching the communication method to both the person and situation, discussing preferred approaches early, and being mindful of content appropriateness across platforms. Email effectiveness requires understanding that people spend only 8 to 12 seconds on messages, with 65% ignored entirely. Effective emails use thoughtful subject lines, brief greetings, structured body text, formatting for emphasis, and careful proofreading. Remember that emails strip out emotion, so be mindful of tone without feeling pressure to use exclamation points or emojis if that's not authentic to you. Email tools like CC and BC require deliberate usage. The to line should include only directly relevant recipients, CC serves as an FYI for those who should be informed, and BC protects privacy when messaging large groups. Before hitting reply all, pause and ask if your response is truly necessary for everyone. You can always reply directly to the sender. Emotional communication requires caution, as messages can be forwarded, edited, and misinterpreted. When upset, take deliberate rest, step away physically, practice deep breathing, consult trusted friends, write drafts separately to avoid accidental sending, and approach conversations with curiosity rather than assumptions. Scheduling emails during working hours, generally 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday-Friday, shows respect for others' boundaries and prevents creating an always-on culture. Adding a signature line stating your working hours and response expectations further reinforces healthy communication boundaries. Your reputation, how others perceive your competence, reliability, and character, significantly impacts your career trajectory. While it takes time to build, reputation can be damaged in moments through seemingly minor actions. Meeting deadlines and communicating proactively builds trust. When you can't meet a deadline, letting people know in advance rather than ghosting demonstrates professionalism. Sharing competing demands up front, sending brief progress updates, offering alternative timelines, and aiming to underpromise and overdeliver creates a reputation for reliability even when challenges arise. Complaining effectively means expressing criticism thoughtfully rather than venting unproductively. Even valid complaints damage team morale when delivered poorly. Effective complainers focus on specific issues rather than generalizing, time their concerns appropriately, and channel frustrations toward solutions. Before complaining, calm yourself, name your emotions, field test concerns with trusted colleagues, and prepare to be identified as the source. Sharing failures strategically makes you more credible and approachable. While most work cultures celebrate wins and hide losses, discussing mistakes normalizes the human experience. Choose what you're comfortable revealing, start small with trusted colleagues, and transform failures into teachable moments. As Adara shares from her medical career, even embarrassing morbidity and mortality conferences that review errors become valuable learning experiences. Understanding the impact of dishonesty prevents reputation-destroying mistakes. While small social lies might be forgiven, significant workplace deception can permanently damage trust. Whether lying by commission, omission, or embellishment, the consequences can include termination and irreparable relationship damage. Prepare recovery phrases for difficult admissions, provide brief explanations without excessive detail, and weigh the risks of dishonesty carefully. Engagement perception matters because success requires more than completing tasks. It requires connecting with colleagues and workplace culture. People notice disengagement through behaviors like staying muted on calls, avoiding the office, or giving minimal responses. To improve engagement, assess whether burnout might be a factor, minimize distractions like smartphone use, seek feedback on how you're perceived, actively show interest in teammates' work, and find comfortable socialization methods. Local reputation matters as much as broader professional standing. Adara observed a CEO celebrated internationally but feared internally, highlighting the disconnect between external acclaim and daily relationships. Your reputation begins with how you treat immediate colleagues and fulfill routine responsibilities. Balance external opportunities with local duties, nurture relationships through regular check-ins, and share success strategies with others, particularly those from underrepresented groups. Gossip management protects your reputation because what you say about others reflects on you. When Risa's supervisor broke confidentiality about her job search, it demonstrated how private information rarely stays private. Instead of participating in gossip, elevate conversations to discuss ideas rather than people, save necessary venting for trusted non-work contacts, politely exit uncomfortable situations, and share sensitive information only with extremely trusted individuals. Ego management balances confidence with humility. The Dunning-Kruger effect reveals that low performers often overestimate their abilities, while high performers underestimate theirs. Workplaces frequently promote overconfident individuals, particularly men, despite evidence that humbler leaders, often women, demonstrate greater competence. Manage your ego by listening more than speaking, maintaining humility while building expertise, willingly performing menial tasks that help the team, and seek feedback about how your confidence level is perceived. Reputation repair requires deliberate effort when damage occurs. As Risa observed with a colleague whose early unprofessional conduct created a lasting negative impression, rebuilding trust takes time. Research your reputation through honest conversations with trusted colleagues, demonstrate genuine behavioral changes consistently over time rather than making temporary adjustments, seek professional assistance when needed, and practice patience during the repair process. Thoughtful apologies mark the difference between accountability and avoidance. Adara shares, apologizing after giving harsh feedback on a student's personal essay, explaining her thought process without over-justifying, and sharing her improvement plan. While women often over-apologize in workplaces, genuine apologies require balancing self-esteem with empathy through self-reflection, empathy expression, learning communication, space for response, and openness to conversation.
Expertise traditionally comes from formal education, but the internet has revolutionized this process by enabling faster learning and broader audience reach. However, true expertise requires informed, accurate knowledge beyond credentials or followers. Effective brainstorming creates ideas without immediate judgment or commitment. After generating possibilities, filter options by asking key questions. Does this topic energize me? Is it unique, or do I have a fresh perspective? Who's my audience? Will it have measurable impact? For trending topics like artificial intelligence, look for unexplored applications to carve your niche. Start small and granular. Rather than broadly developing leadership skills, focus specifically on something concrete, like management of early career graduates. Multimedia learning accelerates expertise development. As Adara discovered when improving her public speaking, no single resource was sufficient. She combined courses, books, coaching, and online tutorials. The wealth of available information makes relying solely on on-the-job learning inefficient. Start with one reference point, then branch out methodically, incorporating educational content into daily activities like commutes or exercise. Testing ideas early rather than waiting until they're fully formed provides valuable feedback. When Adara explored starting a nonprofit focused on mentoring and writing, conversations with colleagues revealed knowledge gaps and obstacles she hadn't considered. Don't fear having ideas scooped. Execution matters more than the initial concept. Curate trusted advisors, pitch before your concept is polished, and ask high-level questions about viability, obstacles, and differentiation. Measurable benchmarks maintain motivation and provide direction. In emergency medicine residency, Adara's leadership team set annual checkpoints for specific procedures, creating clear targets rather than vague expectations. To develop expertise, establish objective measures. If aiming to become a conference speaker, break this down into concrete steps like studying public speaking books, watching notable talks, finding coaches, and pursuing speaking opportunities. Collaboration deepens expertise and establishes credibility by unlocking new perspectives and transforming less mature skills into stronger ones. Working with others builds your network within your company and wider industry, allowing people to witness your expertise development. Identify opportunities where you see gaps in your field, reach out to potential collaborators through appropriate channels, and find your community of practice through online groups and training programs. Deliberate practice demonstrates your capabilities to others. Many professionals struggle with imposter syndrome not because they're fraudulent, but because they lack recognition and support, especially those from marginalized communities. Learn to recognize good opportunities and take immediate action, whether applying for leadership positions, submitting conference proposals, networking with dream job holders, or pitching articles. No one at work loses sleep because you aren't getting opportunities. You need to advocate for yourself. Social media presence expands your reach beyond workplace relationships. Social media acts as a force multiplier, giving you access to people and resources globally. When building your profile, be mindful of high-risk topics and avoid workplace complaints or oversharing. Research which platforms your target community uses, create a professional profile, observe how others engage, and gradually participate through direct messages and public comments while maintaining boundaries. Leadership role evaluation requires investigating opportunities before committing. Research job descriptions thoroughly, speak with current and former role holders, and assess alignment with your expertise goals. Ask uncomfortable but necessary questions about time commitments, support resources, and career trajectory. Determine the impact scope. Will you influence 5 people or 5,000? Award pursuit validates your expertise through active nomination seeking. As Adara discovered, colleagues receiving multiple awards weren't just lucky. They actively sought nominations or helped prepare their nomination packets. Keep an updated list of award opportunities and requirements, maintain your resume in real time, and be willing to draft your own recommendation letters for nominators to customize. Self-advocacy is crucial, especially for women whose work often goes unacknowledged. Expertise evolution ensures continued relevance through intentional role and skill development. Recess progression from ultrasound fellowship participant to educator, workshop organizer, mentor, and storyteller illustrates how expertise develops incrementally. Collaborate with new people, stay current with industry news, attend conferences for networking, and regularly consult with mentors at all career stages. Understanding workplace culture is essential for professional success. Like an emergency department, every workplace has its own flow, communication style, and unwritten rules that determine who thrives and who struggles. Name learning and proper addressing builds trust and rapport. As Adara shares, being mistaken for other people of color despite clear physical differences is dehumanizing and exhausting. When introducing yourself, repeat your name multiple times. Be honest when you forget someone's name. Take time to learn proper pronunciations. be mindful of individuality when interacting with colleagues from marginalized communities, and avoid untitling, removing someone's credentials or position title. Communication style adaptation requires understanding that preferences vary by person, team, and setting. As Risa discovered when her text about a late chapter was perceived as bullying, different people interpret communication methods differently. Observe how others interact, watch for social cues about hierarchy and formality, and err on the side of politeness. Consider circumstances when choosing communication methods. Sensitive information warrants in-person meetings. Urgent matters call for calls or texts. Lengthy topics benefit from writing or verbal discussion. Organizational hierarchy understanding helps navigate workplace relationships effectively. Most organizations have charts showing reporting structure. Whether vertical or horizontal, knowing who's in charge, who the middle managers are, and who your peers are helps you communicate appropriately and know who to approach with different issues. When faced with unclear authority, checking with your actual supervisor prevents misunderstandings. Policy familiarity provides protection when issues arise. While you don't need daily knowledge of your employee handbook, understanding where to find information about benefits, leave policies, and workplace procedures becomes crucial during challenges. During onboarding, pay special attention to orientation materials, save important documents, and attend workshops about benefits and policies for valuable information and HR connections. Self-monitoring awareness ensures accountability for behaviors and productivity. While some people are naturally high self-monitors, adjusting behavior based on situation, and others are low self-monitors, behaving according to internal feelings, workplace success requires understanding how your actions are perceived. People notice both what you do and don't do. To self-monitor effectively, identify workplace expectations, meet deadlines consistently, communicate proactively about delays, and balance emotional authenticity with appropriate expression. Privilege recognition acknowledges how identity and background affect workplace experience. Success often connects to how we're perceived through changeable factors like attire or unchangeable ones like race, age, or gender. Identify your privileges by considering what has made your life easier. Observe who gets rewarded versus who struggles. Look for patterns in recognition and share resources when you're well connected. There's room for multiple people to succeed. Upstanding advocacy uses voice and influence to support others. Unlike bystanders who remain silent, upstanders speak against wrongdoing. Risa ensured an administrator received proper credit for writing work a physician tried to claim. Allyship makes others feel safe, requiring courage to act against discrimination. Prepare stock responses for common scenarios when teammates are ignored, bullied, or disrespected, while recognizing that your safety comes first. Careful socialization acknowledges that work relationships differ from personal friendships. Risa shares a story about medical teams going to a strip club for breakfast after overnight shifts, highlighting how team members might feel pressured to participate in inappropriate activities. Be cautious with alcohol at work functions, normalize abstaining, consult HR about romantic relationship policies, never exploit colleagues through compromising photos, and avoid office gossip and drama. Organizational response observation reveals how companies handle reported misconduct. When harassment occurs, notice if anyone faces consequences, if the company takes a public stance, or if issues are swept under the rug. Educate yourself on available resources and follow up on reports with simple questions about outcomes. If your workplace culture proves toxic or abusive, prioritize your well-being and consider leaving. Effective teamwork isn't just mechanical collaboration, but intentional conversation sharing, ideas, supporting others, and showing vulnerability. As Abby Wambach writes, "I've never scored a goal in my life without getting a pass from someone else." Meeting check-ins creates psychological safety, which Google research shows improves team effectiveness. Allow each team member to share something personal, professional, or both, with the option to pass. This practice helps people feel valued and creates space for authentic connection. When implementing this practice, announce it clearly, explain the concept, manage timing appropriately, and follow up privately with anyone consistently reluctant to participate. Credit sharing models gratitude and humility, which research links to better health, happiness, and sleep. Making others feel good builds positivity and enhances your reputation as someone who shares recognition generously. The key challenge is overcoming self-centered tendencies, especially in toxic or competitive environments. Think in terms of we instead of I, recognizing that few workplace tasks are truly accomplished alone. Psychological safety creation addresses harmful behaviors that interrupt focus and belonging. When people feel unsafe due to bias, microaggressions, or harassment, they can't perform their best. Critical actions include identifying allies, approaching concerns with curiosity, "I'm wondering what made you say that?" checking problematic idioms, minding conversation tone, checking in after incidents, and learning proper reporting channels. Graceful exits offer struggling team members ways to step away from projects without embarrassment. This requires sensitivity rather than judgment, as underperformance may have underlying causes. The skill involves gathering concrete examples, planning private conversations, probing gently, sincerely offering withdrawal options, and following up appropriately whether they take the out or recommit with new accountability. Schedule mindfulness respects personal time by avoiding meetings outside standard business hours. The Athena Swan Charter suggests scheduling meetings only between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Early or late meetings disrupt physical health, home responsibilities, and work engagement, often placing greater burdens on those with more household duties. When necessary, consider shifting by 1 hour, trimming the attendee list, rotating times for international teams, or recording for asynchronous viewing. Appropriate sick day usage prioritizes health over presenteeism. The COVID pandemic shifted workplace culture around illness, with the CDC instructing employees to stay home when sick. Despite resistance in some industries, like medicine, where working while ill is often seen as a badge of pride, calling in sick benefits both individual recovery and public health. Learn your company's policy, support colleagues who need sick days, and model appropriate behavior. Effective feedback delivery requires preparation and sensitivity. Send early notice before difficult conversations, practice what you'll say, and begin with questions that allow the recipient to share their perspective. Focus on specific, actionable items rather than generalities, avoid bias-based feedback, include authentic positive observations, and understand the difference between confidential and anonymous feedback. Focused feedback requests accelerate professional growth. Research shows 43% of highly engaged employees receive feedback weekly, compared to just 18% of less engaged workers. When asking for feedback, identify one specific skill you want to improve rather than asking general questions. Request observations early so people can focus on what matters to you, probe for details when feedback seems vague, and remain open to recurring themes even when uncomfortable. Workplace positivity isn't about fake cheerfulness, but recognizing how your mood affects team morale. Even small acknowledgments like "we did it" or "good job" can lift spirits during difficult times. You don't need to be humorous or gregarious. Simply shifting focus away from negativity and breaking cycles of cynicism makes a difference. The key is authenticity. Some days you won't feel positive, and that's okay.
Your network consists of meaningful connections that help you grow professionally, and you already have one. Networking isn't about superficially collecting contacts, but establishing genuine relationships with people who provide guidance, answer questions, and support your growth. Understanding networking needs starts with recognizing that humans rarely achieve success without others' help. Adaira's experience seeking mentorship from Dr. Paula Johnson demonstrates how targeted networking can provide specific guidance, in her case, connecting with senior-level Black women leaders. This skill can be challenging because networking often feels uncomfortable or contrived. Learn from others' experiences, assess the distance between your current position and career goals, and brainstorm specific topics where you need guidance. Distinguishing conversations from commitments prevents overcommitment. Adaira initially left every networking meeting with new projects because she felt obligated to say yes to opportunities offered. Before networking meetings, clarify your objectives, focus on curiosity about the other person, and prepare responses for potential offers.
When opportunities arise, respond warmly, but don't immediately commit. Instead, say, "Tell me more," to explore without obligation. Introverted networking honors personality differences while building connections. Risa, socially adept and not shy, yet deeply introverted, developed strategies for professional events, staying in accommodations near but not at conference venues, organizing small group gatherings instead of attending large dinner events, and scheduling one-on-one meetings. Introversion isn't the same as shyness. Introverts aren't necessarily anxious about social interactions, but are drained by large groups and prefer intimate connections. Relationship nurturing requires mutual investment and prioritization. Consider your zone of connectedness, from core contacts you connect with regularly, to peripheral contacts with whom you're aware of each other's lives, to distant contacts you meet irregularly for specific purposes. When determining communication frequency, consider the need, availability, and impact of the relationship. Give updates on your career developments, ask meaningful questions, offer value in return, and use your calendar to schedule follow-ups. Network leverage expands connections strategically through trusted introductions. Adiran uses the snowball effect when meeting with students, recognizing when their needs exceed her expertise, she connects them with others who might help. This approach reduces risk compared to cold emails while maintaining quality over quantity. Before seeking new connections, ensure you have the bandwidth to maintain them, take inventory of your existing network's expertise, ask carefully for introductions, and follow up appropriately. Expertise demonstration makes your capabilities visible for meaningful networking. Risa learned to intentionally introduce her credentials at the start of each conversation after realizing others didn't know her background. In a workplace full of bias, asserting your skills helps level the playing field. What might seem like boasting to some provides valuable guidance to others, especially those historically excluded from opportunities. Practice concise self-introductions, be visible through speaking and writing, strategically use social media, prepare bios of different lengths, create a simple website, and attend conferences. Networking etiquette prevents relationship-damaging missteps. Risa shares an awkward encounter where a stranger immediately requested a recommendation letter after her talk, illustrating how misinterpreting networking advice leads to inappropriate requests. Knowing what not to do is often more important than knowing what to do. Respect boundaries, practice humility, prepare person-specific questions, follow up appropriately, and diversify your connections beyond people who look like you or are only more senior. Network sharing creates value for everyone involved. Adira helped a mentee secure a residency interview through a simple email request, a small act that created significant opportunity. More than half of professional connections come through second-degree connections, friends of friends. By connecting others, you position yourself as a helpful resource. Ask people to be specific about their needs, build a diverse network, get permission before connecting people, keep introductions focused and brief, and recognize that generosity ultimately reflects positively on you.